This is an Action Legislative Review, a program of analysis and discussion of issues facing the Alaska State Legislature, featuring the faculty and staff of the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm your host, Scott Sterling. Today our guest is Wendy Redmond, Special Assistant to the Chancellor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and the representative for the whole University of Alaska system before the Alaska State Legislature while it's in session. Welcome to the show, Wendy.
Hi, Scott. It's good to be here again.
Yeah, I'm glad to have you back. And today I thought we'd talk about, since you spend a great deal of time in Juneau, I thought we'd go over, for the benefit of our listeners, what's going on with the operating and capital budgets as the legislature gets closer to adjournment.
Well, it's been a very, an extremely active two-week period with the operating budgets, and both the House and the Senate are planning to close out our budgets within the next week and to close out all budgets by the 28th of April. So we're down to the wire, as they say. Last week, the House took up our budget in some detail. That will be the first closeout, possibly as early as Tuesday of this week. Let me back up just a moment and tell you what both the House and the Senate are doing relative to the operating budget. They have come up with a set of criteria that are being applied to all agency budgets, including the university. It's essentially a decrement process that is being applied in order to generate some additional funding, or put another way, to save some money in a year when the general feeling is that there isn't enough to fund all request levels, nor even all continuation levels. The criteria that have been applied by both the House and the Senate involve five separate steps. It's a return to the FY83 level of funding for all line items except travel and personnel. Number two, return to FY83 level less 10% for travel. Number three, a reduction in personal services for the university from a 3% increment that we included in our budget for STEP and performance back to 1%. And fourth, no new positions in any budget. Fifth, reduction of all replacement equipment by 50%. Well, when these criteria came out a couple of weeks ago, I went in and spoke with both the House and Senate Finance Committees, and we tried to make some adjustments in the criteria as they related to the university, specifically in the replacement equipment section. There was agreement that they would not touch our library books. I think they were not aware that all of our library books are carried in that replacement equipment line item. So they used that criteria but excluded library books, so it's 50% of all replacement equipment beyond the books. Now, what happened in the House was a little distressing, and certainly not anything that was planned, but the decrement process took us back to about $145 million level from $152. At the same time that they were decrementing, they were also setting caps on the budget. In the House, the cap was set at $152, which is our continuation level. In the Senate, the cap is a little below that, probably around $147 or $148. So when they combined the process of decrementing and then setting a cap, they opened up the possibility of real legislative tinkering within a continuation level of our budget. The House subcommittee that had been dealing with our budget for the last 2.5 months had been going through a process of identifying increments within our budget request that they felt they would like to fund for it. They identified approximately $10 million worth of increments. Now, during the process, those increments were clearly intended to be new money that is over and above our continuation level. So when the two processes, that is the decrement process and the subcommittee increment process, came together, they came together in a very negative way from the university's perspective. That is, the decrementing was done on an equitable percentage basis, that is, the same percentage applied to each unit. The incrementing process, however, was not done equitably, and some units came out much further ahead than other units. Fairbanks and the community colleges in particular in that process did not fare well. UAA fared better than any of the other units. So the university's position in discussion with the subcommittee members and with other members of both the House and the Senate has been that in view of the capped budget, and since the cap is at continuation level, that it really is inappropriate to even discuss increments. And it's especially inappropriate to discuss disproportional increments within that continuation level of funding, because the net effect is that the legislature then, by making major changes in the appropriation levels within that continuation level, is taking over the planning responsibility of the Board of Regents. And obviously, we don't think that's an appropriate task for the legislature. So we had several discussions with the committee, and there was some difficulty within the committee in reaching consensus as to how they would deal with our budget. Our proposal, that is, the proposal that I carried to the committee, was to begin with the governor's level, which is the $152 million, and then to apply certain of the criteria, the decrementing criteria, those that would be least hurtful to the university, and attempt to add back in money in a more proportional manner than that they were suggesting with the increments. I believe that we reached some agreement on Friday as to that process. The committee accepted a revised budget that they will take to the full finance committee on Wednesday. That budget involves a couple of actions. Number one would be starting with the governor's level of funding, which included a $3.9 million undistributed reduction. Undistributed meaning that the entire decrement is showing up in statewide administration for statewide administration to distribute back to the units. It was the consensus of the committee that they did not want statewide administration to distribute that cut, that they'd rather distribute it themselves or wipe it out. And so what we did was to take care of that. The first thing we did was to decrease the 3% step and performance increment to 1%. Number two, we reduced all replacement equipment, excluding library books, by 50%. Those two actions generated about $4 million. That was enough to offset the undistributed reduction from the governor's level. And then the third thing was a funding source change that was applied to the statewide administration budget, which generated another $500,000 in general fund resources that were placed in the UAA budget. And the UAA budget is the priority budget of the regions in this request year, but not at the expense of any other unit. So the funding source change, in fact, did not have a negative impact on any of the units and was acceptable to the university. And so that's the final budget that the subcommittee will take to the full finance committee, and we're hoping it will fare well there.
Is it likely that that budget will fare well in the full committee?
I'd like to say absolutely today, but I'm not quite that confident. When it became obvious to members of the House last week that there was some difficulty in reaching consensus among the subcommittee members, there were other members of the full finance committee that were eager to present their proposals on the university budget. So I think we can expect not full consensus on the part of the committee. Our budget is big. It's vulnerable. We've had a lot of press this year. There are a lot of individuals, especially on the House Finance Committee, who feel that they have special knowledge of the university and would like to go through it page by page and make those recommendations.
Actually, it's getting a bit late in the session to go through a page-by-page analysis, isn't it? Given the press, there are all the other state agencies to consider, as well as the University of Alaska.
Well, we're one of the last ones to reach closeout in the House, so if they decide that they want to take the time, I'm sure they'll find a way to make it.
So the picture on the House side is that the House Finance Committee is going to be considering, in terms of closeout, making its final recommendation on the university budget sometime this week. And that must mean that since we're one of the last ones, that they have already passed judgment on most of the other state agencies?
Not most, but many of the other ones. They're having some difficulty with some of the other agency budgets as well. I might point out that the $152 million, well, it's our continuation level and clearly much less than any of us had hoped for out of the session. Relatively speaking, we're still in fairly good shape. That is relative to what's happening with other agency budgets, many of whom are far below continuation and some even below FY83 authorized level. So it certainly isn't as much as we're used to getting in terms of increases, but given the restraints that exist this year, I think 152 is probably the highest we can expect.
Now, I'd just like to touch on that formula that's being used again. FY83 continuation for travel minus 10%. Could you enlighten us why 10% was picked as the amount by which to decrease travel? And that applies to all agencies, is that right?
That's correct. Do I think it was anything other than arbitrary?
Yes. Did anyone look at revenue projections and say, oh, we can save X amount compared to what's coming in by cutting travel by 10%? There's been a lot of press about travel, state authorized and paid for travel.
I think that the figure was arbitrary, 10%. I mean, it could have been 7.5% or 22%. But, clearly you're correct that there is a general feeling that the university and other agencies travel too much and have very large travel budgets.
Okay, but the largest cut is in equipment. Now, that sounds like the kind of category that would affect something like the university, where equipment is a big part of the instructional and research mission of the university, might affect it pretty drastically.
Well, this cut is on replacement equipment only. And just to reiterate that while those criteria are still in existence in the Senate side, in the House side, at least the version that the subcommittee is taking forward to the full committee, the only aspects of that formula that are being applied to our budget are relative to the replacement equipment and the personal services increment. They have agreed not to return us to 83 levels for travel, contractual, or commodities, which I might point out would have a really future kind of negative impact on us, since our 85 budgets are based on the 84 authorized levels, and so we have a future reduction as well. With replacement equipment, it really is only a one-year impact, since we zero-base replacement equipment each year, so that while we'll be a little low this year on replacement equipment, particularly in Fairbanks, hopefully we can make it up through capital budget equipment requests, and then next year we can build it up again.
All right. What about the Senate? How has the Senate been treating the operating budget?
Well, the Senate deals with our budget as a committee of the whole. They always have. We are the only budget that they deal with that way. They have not yet really done any work at all as a committee on our budget. It's all being done at this point by staff who are sort of lining out their proposals that they'll bring to the table this coming Thursday. Their process at this point is essentially the same as the House. That is, they will, as the House originally had, that is, reduction by the formula and then adding back in increments up to a cap. They have their cap, as I mentioned earlier, was around 147 to 148 million. So what they'll be adding back in, I don't know yet. And there really hasn't been any discussion as to how they will go about doing that. Again, how I'll be trying to deal with the Senate is the same as I did in the House, and that is that whatever they add back in, if we are below the continuation level, must be proportionate to what they took out from each unit.
Do you expect the Senate to pass judgment very soon, this week? Or
they're scheduled for closeout on the 21st.
On the 21st.
They seem to be running a bit behind schedule, but I think we could expect to be out of there by the end of this week or the beginning of the following week.
All right. Could we talk about the capital budget for a little bit? What's going on with the capital budget in the House?
There are several pieces to the capital budget that are floating around right now. The supplemental capital bill is on the governor's desk for signature and expected to be out early next week. I believe his 15 days should be up this week. The university had multiple projects in that bill, although no major structural facilities were included in that bill other than the Duckering building addition. I'm a little unclear as to how the governor will apply his stated criteria to that supplemental bill. His criteria originally were that all projects in the supplemental must be ready to bid, but as the bill began to take shape, including his projects, it was clear that those criteria had fallen by the wayside. So I think I'd be surprised to see all of our projects in the bill when it's finally signed. Then we have SB 19, which is a bill that's been amended as it's been winding its way through the Senate. That's the student housing bill. Currently, the Fairbanks student housing facility is fully funded in that bill. That passed the Senate last week and will be brought up in the House this week. All my information on that bill continues to be that it's in good shape. That is, there's strong support in the House as well as the Senate for that bill. I think we might expect to see some increased funding for an Anchorage student housing facility once that bill gets into the House. There are representatives from Anchorage who have made commitments all through the session that there would be no student housing in Fairbanks unless there was equal housing in Anchorage. So I think we might see that addition, and the bill will surely end up in a conference committee for some final resolution. SB 19, I'm sorry.
18.
Yeah, SB 18, which is now called SB 229, is also passed out of the Senate. That's the classroom bill. That includes full funding for the Anchorage classroom and planning money for Fairbanks and ACC, Juneau, Sitka, and TVCC. Classroom buildings. That bill, again, will, I believe, receive some additional scrutiny when it gets over to the House and end up in a conference committee. I'd like to be able to prognosticate on those two major bills for the university since they are carrying our highest classroom and student housing priorities. There are some people who believe that the governor will veto if they get to him, that he has already indicated his unwillingness to accept cash funding for these facilities without a further investigation of some alternative sources of funding, such as revenue bonding. But the prime sponsor on both of those bills has been Senator Curtula in the Senate. These are, he has indicated, his key bills. So I hope that will improve the chances of both of those succeeding intact. Now, in addition to those three bills that are floating, there's also the regular capital bill. The governor sent down to the legislature last week his capital bill, which was approximately $250 million. The reception for his budget was not overwhelming on the part of the legislature. They intend to probably add at least another $200 million to the governor's bill before they send it back to him. Included in that, in the governor's version of the budget for the university, was $14 million worth of projects, including almost $10 million for land acquisition in Anchorage. So you can see there wasn't much for the university.
Is the acquisition of land a necessary first step before student housing can be built in Anchorage?
Yes. Yes.
That absolutely has to happen before they can proceed to build.
Yes. They have a serious land problem at UAA and desperately need that particular acreage.
Anything else in the capital budget of interest?
One of the things that we certainly hope to be able to pick up in the general capital budget is additional money for all units of the university for repair, renovation, and equipment. those are items that the legislature has not been able to fund in our regular, in the regular bills that have been going through. We've picked up in the past money for those items in reappropriation bills as they've come through. Those bills will be fairly scarce this year as well. The only repair and renovation money we have in right now is in the governor's budget that he sent down. There was $4 million, and we have about four times that much in necessary repair and renovation in our request budget this year. So we're, all units are very short in that area, and given the cutback in the operating budget on equipment, we're also going to be in some difficulty in that area. So we're trying hard where we can to get the individual legislators who are our advocates and who do want to find ways to put in money for us to put them into those areas.
Wendy, system-wide, what kind of impact is the level of the operating budget, that equipment, replacement equipment cutback, and the fact that we have a lot more in terms of needs for repair and renovation than we have in money, what kind of impact is that going to have on the university's instructional mission?
I think that the chancellors have already, and the president and the board, have all been discussing the potentials of reduced revenue this year. They've had several meetings discussing contingency plans, that is, what will we do if we have a $152 million budget. There is a strong commitment on all of their parts that the instructional programs are not touched, or that, and that we are able to, in fact, meet the increasing enrollment demands and without cutting back essential services. So they've come up with various plans, and certainly we'll be continuing to make the necessary adjustments in our budgets to reflect the reduced revenues. The kinds of things that they're discussing are in fact essentially the same things that the legislature has been discussing, reductions in travel, reductions in inflationary increases, some cutbacks in administrative services, all the potential areas that we have other than touching direct instruction. And, yeah, and clearly that would be the last thing to be touched.
And how about organized research? How is that going to fare?
Well,
as these cuts are made.
Organized research has been probably the least understood of all of the elements of the university this session. A lot of that has to do with the number of new legislators and the number of those new people who have very little familiarity with the university or with research. The cuts as the budgets stand right now, or the reductions, are not being applied to organized research disproportionately to any other unit. They're facing some additional problems with federal cutbacks, which will have to be, and as a result, adjustments made within their own programs that may in fact be more difficult than some of the academic units. The Chancellor O'Rourke, I know, has been working very closely with people on his campus through the assembly and his executive council to bring about a closer integration of organized research and the regular academic program, and his budget this year reflected his attempts in that direction. It's unlikely that he will receive the funding necessary to bring those people more fully into the teaching process, but it's a commitment that he's made in a direction that he wants to go with that program.
So overall, the university might expect a $152 million budget.
Well, at this point, I think that would be the best.
That would be an optimistic look?
That's an optimistic look.
Okay.
And I'd like to be optimistic today. There's still a commitment on the part of a lot of individuals that they would like to get additional funding for us. It really isn't that we don't have support. It's that there isn't any money.
Yes, that's been one of the recurrent themes throughout all the shows we've done on Alaskan Legislative Review, is evaluating what happens to programs and issues as revenues decline. Declining revenues per se are an issue.
And I think that, you know, the university isn't going to be faced with major retrenchment. We're not going to be faced with major budget cuts. But what we're looking at is a decreased level of increases in the next few years. And that does require some scaling back, some real scaling back, as well as some psychological adjustment.
Can you give us any prognostications as to when the legislature is going to adjourn?
I'm betting on May the 10th at the latest.
May the 10th at the latest. Well, now we have you on record, so we'll see. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Wendy. Thanks for being on the show, and good luck with your efforts.
Thank you, Scott.
This has been Alaskan Legislative Review. Our guest tonight has been Wendy Redmond, Special Assistant to the Chancellor at the University of Alaska Fairbanks and representative of the University of Alaska System before the Alaska State Legislature. Our topic has been the operating capital budgets as the legislature begins to wind down. Alaskan Legislative Review is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. I'm your host, Scott Sterling. Our executive producer is Carla Tonella. If you would like a copy of this program, please send $5 to KUAC-FM, University of Alaska Fairbanks, Fairbanks, Alaska, 99701.